You're listening to CKUT, broadcast on 90.3 FM in Montreal and online worldwide at ckut.ca. I'm Jules Bugel. Last Wednesday, protests against gender and sexuality inclusivity in schools took place in cities across Canada. In Montreal, hundreds of protesters and counter-protesters of the 1 Million March for Children faced off just around the corner from our offices at CKUT. Earlier this week, counter-protest organizer Celeste Trianon joined us live in studio to get at the root causes of anti-trans fears and discuss how commentators and politicians in the province are responding to those protests. Here's that conversation. Celeste, thank you so much for joining me.
No problem. It's a pleasure.
All right, Celeste. So first, let's walk through just what was happening at those protests and counter-protests last week. They were against sexual orientation and gender identity, also acronymized, I guess, as SOGI, being taught in schools. Now, what does that actually mean in Quebec? Like, what are kids being taught?
So the whole idea of SOGI 1-3 does not exist in Quebec, period. Instead, education about queer and trans people is integrated within a broader sexual education curriculum, which begins in grade 1 and stretches all the way to secondary 5, so grade 11 for our non-Quebec viewers. It begins at in first grade. All what it discusses is A, naming your body parts correctly, and B, recognizing grooming or otherwise different forms of child abuse, so a child who is a victim of that can react accordingly. Then later down the line, the concepts of sexual orientation, of gender identity, are only taught at a much later age, such as between grades 5 and 8, with more concepts being added as a child grows to become an adult. It doesn't all come in grade 1. We're not teaching kids that being trans is better than being cisgender. That is not what the sexual education curriculum is about. The whole objective of this is to make sure students get accurate information which they can use to better interpret the world around them in order to be able to live better in society with other people. Of course, queer and trans people, they exist. It should be everyone else's duty to make sure they're accepted.
So what were you hearing at the protest on Wednesday? I know you've organized different protests for trans rights in the past. You know, how was this protest any different, if it was, you know, from those other events that you've been at in the last few years?
Yeah, I'll be very honest. It's stank of Calgary. And to clarify what that means, it means that the approach that was used during this protest, first and foremost, it was the first time in Quebec history that there were more anti-trans protesters, there are this many anti-trans protesters in one location, and that anti-trans protesters overwhelmed counter-protesters when one of their protests was countered. So this is very much an uncharted first. But at the same time, even the discourse used, for example, quote-unquote, leave our kids alone, it's something which I could say has been directly pulled out of Calgary, out of, you know, the West, but also anti-trans protests in Ontario, specifically targeting their curriculum regarding teaching about sexual orientation and gender identity in schools. So it was very Anglophone, very much rotted off quote-unquote rest of Canada. But that's just the start. You want to know what's the worst part? They were using literal human children as human shields. Literal human children, like 6-7 years old, some of them openly spewing anti-trans rhetoric with their parents, openly calling us pedophiles and calling for us all to die. Incitement to kill, isn't it? It's part of the criminal code. But also other kids who are feeling scared, who are feeling terrorized by the anti-trans protest, or otherwise even misinterpreting why, you know, there were counter-protesters in the first place, such as, for example, thinking that the counter-protesters were, in fact, anti-Muslim protesters instead of, you know, people wanting to defend their very civil liberties, people wanting a community which is very much living in fear right now, who just wishes to live.
You mentioned that this kind of discourse, this kind of movement is coming out of other parts of Canada and being brought to Quebec. Well, you know, now it is in Quebec, right? We're seeing on the talk shows and in editorials, these protests have really become an issue that now people feel like they need to comment on. And, you know, in the National Assembly, the protests were condemned by the Liberals and Quebec Solidaire, but not really by the Premier, François Legault. In a presser on Thursday, he said, you know, he understood both sides and was planning on looking into the issue. What do you make of this response?
It's disappointing because imagine a killer looking for a potential victim. The victim's trying to run away from the killer. Say if the victim tries to defend themselves. Imagine being a third party looking at this scenario, looking at what would otherwise be an attempted murder, and saying that both of them are equally guilty. That's what it feels like right now. It's a premier positioning himself as quote-unquote neutral in a scenario which cannot be neutral. Because there's a community whose lives, whose very existence is at stake. And on another side, violent anti-trans protesters seeking to eliminate us, even grooming their children into hating us.
You know, we also heard from Education Minister Bernard Drainville, who has come out against mixed gender washrooms in schools. You know, this combines kind of the two things that so-called gender critical activists or anti-trans commentators really come back to, which are kids and washrooms. What do you think it is about these that just makes them such popular limit cases for people's acceptance or their tolerance of trans people?
Has always been a question of digging into different myths and preconstructions about different groups of people. For example, the violent men, which of course we're going to take the worst parts of the most violent men possible and apply that to trans women in order to make society scared of them. Or we're going to infantilize children to the biggest degree possible in order to claim that they need protection, that they need, you know, that they need safety, and then use all these anti-trans myths, combine it with them in order to make an argument for quote-unquote parental rights. But ultimately, this isn't about the children at all. Inclusive education has been proven time and time again to reduce the rates of just bullying at large within school settings. It's been proven to make sure that people feel safer. That is also the case for mixed gender washrooms, especially when they are designed in a way that prevents bullying from happening. For example, having an open corridor where the sinks are instead of having it closed away. All of this helps make people feel safer. It helps make them feel more welcomed. Trying to blame trans people for all of this is merely a distraction, preventing change that will ultimately benefit everyone.
Yeah, I'm curious what you think as well about how this is coming to be, I guess, a culture war issue here in Quebec specifically. Obviously, this is something that's happening across Canada and in the U.S., but, you know, there was some commentary pointing to the fact that many of the protesters in Montreal were Muslims, saying, you know, for those who are on the so-called liberal left, this shows sort of the limits of toleration when, you know, you either accept Muslims and you've been calling Quebec society Islamophobic, or you accept trans people. Like, this can't both be done at the same time. What would you say to people making those kinds of arguments?
It's simple. There are Middle Easterner and Iranian queers and trans people all across Canada, including here in Montreal. There are Muslim queers and trans people all across Canada. They're not mutually exclusive. You know what is? Anti-trans hate and trans people. You don't need to be Muslim to hate trans people. And you can be trans and be Muslim at the same time. You can replace the word Muslim within these last few sentences with any other religion. There's no excuse for hate regardless, because these are not connected.
So that's sort of the discourse that's happening right now in Quebec. But you wrote an article, in Policy Options that was talking about what's happening more broadly in the country. what is happening right now in terms of anti-trans organizing, and what is on the horizon if Conservative Party leader Pierre Poilievre becomes Canada's next prime minister?
So I'd say regarding Canada right now, we are 12 months behind the U.S. Quebec might be more like 18 months behind, but Canada at large is very much catching up with the culture war in the United States. So that is why you see Pierre Poilievre barely dipping into anti-trans rhetoric without openly supporting gender-affirming care bans or anything else, but his party membership openly espousing anti-trans views, openly positioning themselves as a party which would be hostile against trans people. So at the recent Conservative Party convention in Quebec City, which happened earlier this month, the Conservative Party voted, over two-thirds of them voted in favor of banning. So in federal law, that means criminalizing gender-affirming care for minors under all forms. So that is just plays into fears regarding gender-affirming care, despite the fact that there have been exactly zero documented cases of gender-affirming surgeries being performed on minors in Quebec history.
Yeah. So, you know, I know that this is so hard to even talk about. What is happening in the rest of Canada, though, because I know that, you know, it's not just at the federal level, but premiers are really taking this into their own hands.
We're seeing a combination of conservative lobby groups, such as, for example, Action for Canada and the Canadian Constitution Foundation. A lot of these conservative groups openly attacking either policies designed to protect trans people. For example, the CCF I just mentioned, they're suing the Calgary government over its policy protecting municipal facilities from anti-trans protests. And you have other cases where premiers are openly espousing anti-democratic positions specifically to impose anti-trans legislation or policy. Both Saskatchewan Premier Moe and New Brunswick Premier Higgs have suggested using the notwithstanding clause, which means overriding almost all human rights protections within Canadian law, to make sure that their anti-trans policies may not get challenged. I believe in both cases, it would be the first time either province would be using the notwithstanding clause, which is also behind Quebec Bills 21 and 96, as well as Ontario's union busting bill from last year. So we're talking about a broader attack on democracy and human rights at large. It's not just about trans people. If they're going to use the same logic in order to, for example, restrict funding for abortion clinics, restrict funding for mental health services, restrict, you know, access to birth certificate amendments for trans people, all of this would be possible if governments use the notwithstanding clause and keep on getting reelected. So this is fearful, because it's possible. And in a worst-case scenario where governments use the notwithstanding clause, Canadian law would be even weaker than U.S. law.
You know, there's a lot of people who are broadly consider themselves to be progressive or on the left who either have a, you know, a love is love politics, right? Mm-hmm. You know, everyone is accepted. I'm bothered by no one, but they're not exactly going to go and protest in the streets on behalf of people's rights. Or you have folks who say, of course, I stand with trans people, but really these issues are a distractor from what's happening in the economy, what's happening with climate change, so-called serious issues.
Exactly.
As someone who's an organizer, like, what do you want to see from Canadians, from Montrealers, as the anti-trans lobby really is organizing to take power and to strip away people's rights?
Don't forget that the anti-trans movement is a broader part of a broader anti-democratic movement. Action for Canada, which has claimed responsibility behind the Saskatchewan anti-trans policies, has openly attempted to overthrow the Trudeau government and replace it with a theocracy. We are talking about not just our civil rights being stripped away, but everyone's. The ultimate goal of many of these groups behind these are to implant a theocracy within Canada, to remove the separation of church and state, to remove any constitutional protections given to anyone. Basically, the tyranny of the majority, or even worse, the tyranny of a tiny minority.
Celeste, thank you so much for joining me. I know that it's never easy to talk about, and especially in the wake of last week's protest, emotions are running high, spirits are low. So thank you for your work, and thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem. It's such a pleasure. And by the way, there's going to be a public vigil for Trans Day of Remembrance this year. It's going to be, I believe, a first for Montreal. It's going to be at 6 p.m. at the Sir George Etienne Cartier statue. So come on along. That's going to be the next big movement for our community, our next big protest.
Okay, for sure. And you will definitely hear about it on Off the Hour on CKUT in the lead up to that event. So thanks again, Celeste.